We actually started on Tuesday, but just to recap, the Sikh of Shmais, Tavshin and Beis, then it talks about the beginning of the parasha starts with Ela Shmais B'nei Yisrael, Abayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the sons of Israel that came to Mitzrayim. And so the Medrash says that the Medrash raises the question, why are these names repeated here again? They're already listed in Parshas Vayigash, describing the descent to Mitzrayim. Why is it repeated again? So the Medrash tells us that the reason why it's repeated again is because each one of these names allude to redemption. And the Medrash goes through each of the names of the Shvatim and talks about how each of the names allude to redemption. And the question is, how come, if here we're talking about the descent into Egypt, why is it appropriate to repeat again the names of all the Shvatim describing their descent into Egypt, because they allude to redemption? We're talking about the going into exile right now. Why is the allusion to redemption, why is this the appropriate place to make the allusions to redemption? And especially the question is even stronger when we look at the pasuk. But Medrash says that the name of Yosef is an allusion not to the redemption in general, but specifically to the ultimate redemption. Because the verse that the Medrash brings for the name of Yosef is a prophecy of Yeshaya, which talks about the ultimate redemption, and says, "Vayemahu Yosef Adnai Shenis Yodai," that on that day Hashem will stretch out once again his hand for a second time. And it specifically refers to a second time, specifically referring to the ultimate redemption. So how is it appropriate that now, at the time of descent into the first exile, we bring the names of the Shvatim to allude to redemption and even to allude to ultimate redemption? What is the connection between the beginning of exile and redemption, and especially ultimate redemption? So as we explained, the Rebbe goes on to discuss the Mishnah and Brachas, which is also quoted in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that says that Rav Elazar ben Azariah said that he is as if he is 70 years old, and he never merited that Yetzias Mitzrayim should be mentioned at night. And the commentaries explain it doesn't mean that it wasn't mentioned at night, it meant that they couldn't find the source with the obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, that in the Kriya Shema of the daytime, that in Kriya Shema we hear a third parsha, Parsha Vayomer, which mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we do so in the morning and at night. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah said he never merited that the source should be found. As to why we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, until Ben Zomer came along and derived it from the verse that says, "Leman tizkor es yemtzeisim et Yisrael kol yemechayecha," in order that you remember the day of your going out of Egypt, all the days of your life. So Ben Zalman said that it should just say, why does it have to say all the days of your life? It should just say the days of your life. And we'll understand that it's all of the days. So Ben Zalman says that from this we learn that the days of your life is referring to the daytime, the obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in the daytime, and all the days of your life includes the obligation to mention in the nighttime as well. The Chachamim continue, and the Chachamim say that no, from Yimei Chayecha, from the days of your life, the days include both day and night. Just from the days of your life alone, I would know that you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night as well. From all the days of your life, we learn Lahavi Limais HaMashiach, that even in the days of Mashiach, we will be obligated to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the question that Rebbe raises is, what is the significance of the fact that we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim even in the night? And we're told that not only do we mention even in the nights, but that all the days of your life include not only days and nights, but includes Limais HaMashiach. What is the relevance to me today to know that all the days of my life, that all the days of your life include Yimei HaMashiach? And also, what is the relevance in the actual times of Mashiach? What will be the relevance of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why will Yetzias Mitzrayim be relevant in the times of Mashiach. At that time we will have experienced ultimate redemption. Why will it then be necessary to still remember the going out of Egypt? So the question is, why is it relevant for me today to know that all the days of your life include, first of all, why is it necessary to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim even at night, which symbolizes the darkness of exile? Even as we are once again in exile, we're obligated to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is the significance and relevance to me today in the darkness of Golos to know that someday I will continue to mention it even after Mashiach comes? And the question is from the other side, what is the relevance after Mashiach actually comes to continue mentioning a miracle which pales in significance to the actual redemption? The Rebbe explains that Yetzias Mitzrayim represents a redemption in a manner of overpowering and escaping from evil. We know that the description of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is that it says, Ki barach ha'om, that the people ran away. It says that they left the chipazon, they left hastily. So, and whereas in reference to the ultimate redemption, it says, Ki loy b'chipazon teitzeyu, that you will not leave with haste. So what is the difference between a redemption in which we have to run away, which we have to leave hastily, and a redemption which we will not have to go in haste? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the reason why the people had to run away from Mitzrayim, the reason why they had to leave in haste, was because the evil of Mitzrayim was still at its full force. At the time the Jewish people left, it was only later at the splitting of the sea that Mitzrayim was completely broken. But at the time that the Jewish people left, this evil of Mitzrayim was still in its full power, and therefore they had to run away. Whereas in the time of the ultimate redemption, it says, "Ruach hatuma avim min ha'aretz," that the spirit of impurity I will remove from the earth. So there will no longer be an existence of evil in the world, and therefore there will be nothing to run away from, and therefore we will not leave in haste. There's no way to, we're not running away from anything. So the difference between Yetzias Mitzrayim is that Yetzias Mitzrayim represents the power to overcome evil, even when evil is at its full strength, and ultimate redemption represents the total conquest and vanquishing of evil to the extent that evil no longer exists. So the Rebbe explains as follows, that the significance of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, which symbolizes the time of exile, why is it, after we have been returned once again to exile, why is it relevant to us to mention the going out of Egypt? So the Rebbe says that the going out of Egypt represents the empowerment, the power that we have, even in the darkness of exile, to overcome evil. So therefore, even in the darkness of exile, we have already been empowered by Yetzias Mitzrayim to be able to overcome the darkness and to overcome the evil in the exile. And therefore, it is necessary to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim even in the darkness of exile. Why will it be necessary to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim even after the ultimate redemption? The Rebbe explains that the difference between, there's an additional advantage to a Yetzias Mitzrayim that there is over the ultimate redemption. Yetzias Mitzrayim represents the breakthrough of redemption. The first redemption in a way of overpowering the evil, meaning the capacity to experience redemption, to reveal godliness, even in a world where evil is still at full strength. Which means that even as the world is in its natural state, it is still possible to overcome evil and reveal godliness within the world as it is. The advantage of ultimate redemption is that the world can actually be transformed and changed, and godliness revealed. And also, in a way that transforms the world. And the world becomes a very different place. So there's an advantage to a redemption in which the world retains its nature. The world itself remains the same. Because that expresses the idea that the redemption is taking place within the world. It's not breaking the natural order of the world. Within the world, as it exists, within its very nature, it could experience redemption. So therefore, in the time of ultimate redemption, it will still be necessary to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the ultimate is when you have the advantages of both types of redemption. On the one hand, a transformative redemption, which represents a much higher revelation from above, such an powerful, intense revelation that evil could no longer exist in the face of such revelation. At the same time, there's an advantage to a redemption of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's redemption from within the world as it exists, within the nature of the world itself. So therefore, it will still be relevant to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, because ultimate redemption is when you have the ultimate revelation from above, but yet that ultimate revelation penetrates and permeates the world and becomes part of the nature of the world itself. It doesn't blow the world away, but rather it becomes a part of the nature of the world itself. Why is it relevant for us to know, even as we are in exile, that we will continue to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in the future? The Yemais HaMashiach is included in Kol Yemei Chayecha, in all the days of your life. That explains the reason why it's relevant for us to know that now, is because we have to realize the true nature of exile. In order to overcome exile, we have to realize and understand the true nature of exile. That the way we experience this process, we experience it as a three-step process with certain breaks in between. We experience first the exile in Mitzrayim, then we experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, then we were supposed to go to ultimate redemption, but certain things interfered, and we got this whole long 3,300 year plus interruption between the two redemptions. So to us, it's a three-step process with long breaks in between. But the Rebbe says that that's not the true reality of exile and redemption. It's actually all one thing. The whole function of exile, the whole function of God creating a world of concealment, a world in which His presence is hidden and concealed, and evil appears to flourish, which obviously this is the source of all of what we call exile. The whole purpose of that is that godliness be revealed within that world. The reason why God created this finite world, a world in which His presence is concealed, is because His ultimate purpose is that God Himself should be fully revealed in that finite world. If God wanted a world of infinite revelation, He could have made a world of infinite revelation. If God wanted a world of concealment, He could have made a world of concealment, then it would stay a world of concealment. What God wanted is infinite revelation in a world of concealment. So therefore, the process of creating a world of concealment and then having Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the beginning of revelation, meaning the beginning of the process of overpowering the concealment, but the concealment still exists. And then ultimate revelation, in which the concealment no longer serves to conceal God. So that is all part of one, from God's perspective, that's all part of creating one reality, which is infinite revelation in a finite world. To us, from our perspective, we experience that as different steps in the process. So, but when we realize, Chazal are telling us that Kol Yemei Chayecha Lahavi L'Mais HaMashiach, when we realize that all the days of your life, even the nights, in all the days of your life is included the day, the night, the Tzias Mitzrayim, and the Mais HaMashiach, that's all included in all the days of your life. So what that gives us, that enables us to experience the exile in the same way, so that we don't see the exile as darkness, we don't see the concealment as a real concealment, we see the concealment only as a means to revelation. When you see the concealment only as a means to revelation, the concealment has no power over you. So the marshal that's brought at Chassidus is like a teacher who's a very brilliant teacher who's trying to convey a very lofty concept to a very simple student. In the teacher's mind, the brilliance of the concept shines in its full power. He's trying to get this brilliant concept into this little mind of the student. So in order to get this brilliant concept into the little mind of the student, what he has to do is, he has to hold back some of the light of the brilliance of that concept while communicating it to the student. In communicating it to the student, he can only give the student a very limited glimpse and view of the brilliance of the concept. And it's a process which takes the student 40 years. It takes 40 years until a student is koyem adaita derabbi, until a student can fully comprehend what's in the mind of his teacher. So for the student, from the perspective of the teacher, the entire brilliance of the concept is contained in that teacher as he gives it to the student. To him, there's no concealment. The seeming concealment is only in order to get this brilliant concept into that limited mind. So for him, there's no real concealment. The concealment is only from the perspective of the student. From the perspective of the student experiences it as a whole process. First, he gets the limited concept, and it takes him a process of working for 40 years till he actually gets the full brilliance of the concept. But if the student realizes that the whole process is only in order to ultimately experience the full brilliance of the concept as it is in the teacher's mind, so for the student, it's also not an unpleasant experience. If the student realizes that this concept as it is in the teacher's mind is far more, if the student thinks that all the teacher can give him is this limited concept, so the student is broken. He realizes the teacher has this far more brilliant concept in his mind, and all I'm getting is this limited concept. But if the student realizes that in the limited concept is already contained all the brilliance and all the of the teaching, he only has to uncover it. It's already all contained in there. So the student realizes he has everything already. The student already has everything. He doesn't realize it yet. He doesn't appreciate it yet. It takes work. It's a process. But the truth is he already has it all. If he feels like he doesn't have it, to him, the process is a long, hard, painful process. My teacher is on a far removed level from me. All I have is this little nothing. So what do I have? I have nothing, and I have to knock myself out to try to get to understand something. But if the student realizes that the teacher already put all of it into, even the teacher in the simple form that he has, contains in it all the brilliance that the teacher has in the teacher's mind, then he would relate to it in a totally different way. There's a letter that the Rebbe writes to somebody, and the Rebbe writes, enclosed in the letter, please find the sikha that I spoke to the children at a rally. So the Rebbe writes to the person, you might think, like, why am I including to you a sikha to little children? The Rebbe says that you should know that our Rabbeim, the Rebbe doesn't talk about himself, you should know that our Rabbeim, even when they spoke to little children, it doesn't mean that they only gave them the simple concept. They expressed it in simple ways, but in those simple ideas are contained all the brilliance and light of Chassidus, is all condensed and contained in that simple teaching. So the Rebbe explains to the person, the reason why I'm sending you this sikha that I spoke from little children is because you should know that by our Rabbeim, it looks like it's a sikha for little children, but the truth is, in there is everything. So the person, in other words, that you have, one of the things that happens is you have people who, they look at a sikha from the Rebbe for little kids, yeah, that's for kids, right? They come out with a book that Rebbe speaks to children, The Rebbe Retz a kid. He said, yeah, it's not for me. It's for little kids. What am I going to get out of it? And the truth is the opposite. If we really appreciate it, that everything that came out of the Rebbe's mouth has in it, the Rebbe invested himself in it entirely. It's all in there. So, Paket, we would look at how the Rebbe expressed things to children and appreciate the brilliance even more, to see the capacity to bring the loftiest ideas down to the simplest level. So there's an extra geschmack in learning the sifras that the Rebbe says to children. Because there you see even more how it's possible to invest the greatest brilliance and the greatest light into the simplest ideas and concepts. So the same thing is with the goals. We need to know that that even though by us we experience it as a process and it takes time to go from one step to the next, but you should know that the truth is that the entire goal is already invested in what we experience as goals. The concealment is only from our perspective. The truth is that all the revelations of Godliness and ultimately God himself are all here. It's all contained within here, and this world exists only ultimately to be a place of infinite revelation and a finite world. So when we relate to the concealment that way, the concealment has no power on it. Then it says, not only that, but when we relate to the concealment that way, then it doesn't take as long, it does not take as long to get from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Geula Shleimah. If we experience the concealment as a real concealment, then the process is a very long, drawn-out process. Because you have to work your way, you have to overcome each concealment, each step, each level of the darkness. You have to fight your way, step by step, through each increasing level of darkness. That's what exile is. But if you realize that the concealment is not a real concealment, then you don't have to go through this whole lengthy process. It's brought that the Friedrich Rebbe brings, that the Alter Rebbe said like this, that the Alter Rebbe said that even though normally it takes 40 years for a student to comprehend his teacher's mind, to reach an understanding of where his teacher's coming from, the Alter Rebbe said that the first time I went to Mezritch, I was already Kaim Adaita Dirab. The Alter Rebbe said the first time he went to Mezritch, he was already able to grasp fully the teachings of the Mezritch Maggid at the level that the Mezritch Maggid himself comprehended. So how could that be? If the Gemara says it takes 40 years, it's a process. What does it mean that the Alter Rebbe said the first time he went to Mezritch, he was already Kaim Adaita Dirab? So you take, because Alter Rebbe is so brilliant, but it has nothing to do with brilliance. It's not an issue of brilliance. You have a different mind than your teacher. Even if a person, the teacher, is not more brilliant than the student. But your mind is different than the teacher's mind. You never see things exactly like someone else sees it. Even someone on your level that teaches you something, it's a whole process until you can actually see it from their perspective. To learn another person's perspective is a process. It's not just a question of being smart enough or not smart. So how is that? Because when you see, why is it that I can't see someone else's perspective? Because a person can't communicate their mind. They have to conceal their ideas and thoughts in words. They have to put it into vessels, into words. And words can never fully communicate what's going on in my head. I can teach you a concept, I can give over an idea, but I can't really put into words what's happening inside my head. That I can never really put into words. So the words, even though the words are a means of revelation, it's through the words that I communicate, but the words themselves are also a concealment. Because they don't let me really see what's going on inside your head. I'm only getting your ideas packaged in words. I'm not getting the ideas themselves. But if concealment has no power over you, if you could see through the concealment, if you see that concealment is only a means of revelation, if you only relate to the revelation aspect, so concealment has no power over you, so you can see what is being contained in the concealment. So the Alter Rebbe, he heard a teaching from the Mezritcha Magid, then he was in right away. He was able to see through not only what was being said, but also what was not being said. What was implicit, what was contained in the words, even though it was not explicit in the words, because the words themselves, for the Alter Rebbe, were not a concealment. So the Rebbe says that now we could experience, we don't have to experience an interruption between Yetzias Mitzrayim and ultimate redemption. You can go straight. Obviously, you have to first get away from evil in your personal avodah, but you can already go straight to experiencing ultimate redemption if you know how to relate to the concealment properly. If you know how to perceive, realize that all the revelations of Geula are here in the concealment. They're not somewhere else and they have to come into the world. They're all here already. All the revelations of Geula are here. And the only appearance of concealment is only so that we process those revelations. So if you realize that the concealment is not real, then you can go straight to ultimate redemption. There doesn't have to be this long break, this long interruption. Just like from God's perspective, there is no interruption. It's not a process of stages. By God, there's no stages. It's only by us, as we experience it, that we experience first darkness, exile, redemption, further darkness, and then ultimate redemption. From God's perspective, it's all one thing. The concealment is the means of the revelation. Because God wants infinite revelation in a world of concealment. So if we relate to the concealment that way, we too do not have to experience any time lapse or any hefsek, in the words of the devil, between one step of redemption and ultimate redemption. In Avodah, the way that Rebbe explains this, he doesn't explain this at once, he just alludes to it. In Avodah, what this refers to is, Yetzias Mitzrayim in Avodah refers to the Avodah v'Iskafia, and ultimate redemption in Avodah refers to the Avodah v'Ishapa. Iskafia being the internal struggle with one's own internal evil inclinations, resisting one's impulses and desires. Ishapka means being transformed. Ishapka means a transformation of, Ishapka means transformation of one's very nature to the point that one does not have any impulses and desires outside of holiness. So the Rebbe says it's necessary in the darkest of times to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. To remember that we have the power, as dark as it gets, as difficult as the challenges are, we have to remember that we have the power to resist evil. We have that power to resist evil. There's no evil in the world that can overcome us. We have the power to fight and resist any form of evil that exists. So Maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos means that we need, that we have the power. There is no form of evil that exists on the world that a Jew can't resist and overpower, internal or external. What does it mean that Kol Yemei Chayecha L'Hovi Nimeis HaMashiach, that it's necessary for us to know now that it's, that this leads to Nimeis HaMashiach, and that it's, and that we will still be mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim and Yemei HaMashiach. So the question is, or in other words, why will it still be necessary to have Iskafia when you've already experienced this Hapka? You've already experienced this Hapka, you're already completely transformed. You don't have any evil impulses and desires. Why will Iskafia be necessary anymore? We mentioned the last time a story with the Friedrich Rebbe, that he asked one of his people who would assist him, he asked him to bring a glass of tea, a glass of hot tea. So the chassid brought a glass of hot tea and he put it down. Came back a few hours later, he saw that the glass of tea was still sitting there on the desk and it was cold. So he asked the Frida Gereva, the Harei Kvar Ovad. It says in Tanya that a tzaddik gomer, know that a Beinoni has to work on himself in order to resist his impulses and desires. And that's why the Rebbe says a Beinoni is called an Oyvei, somebody who is still in the process of working on himself. A tzaddik, on the other hand, the Rebbe says is called an Eved, because Harei Kvar Ovad, because he already finished working on himself and he doesn't have to resist any evil impulses and desires because he doesn't have any. So this chassid was asking the Frida Gereva, Harei Kvar Ovad, if you ask for a glass of tea, obviously it's because you need it. Al pi kedusha, not because you had a desire. So if al pi kedusha you wanted to have a glass of tea, why did you not have it? If it was an avodah to resist your desires, for somebody else, this could be. First he thought he wanted it, then he realized, no, he doesn't need it. But if your Rebbe asks for something, obviously you needed it. And if you needed it, so why did you not have it? So that's what he asked the Frida Gereva, Harei Kvar Ovad. The Frida Gereva said, Zei darfind us, ich will us. Everybody else needs to do a skat. Everybody else needs to resist their impulses and their desires. I want to do it. I don't have to. I want to. So what does that mean? What does it mean that somebody who's already been completely transformed is still doing his kafir? The Rebbe actually speaks about this in the Maimon that I was given up Chav Beis Shvat, Tavshin Nun Beis, Elam Mishpat. So the Rebbe speaks about what's the advantage of a kafir over his heart. The advantage of a kafir is that I am changing myself even at within my nature. My nature is to desire evil. And even as I exist and operate with my human nature, I'm forcing myself and changing myself from within. Ishapka means total transformation means that I already experienced such godly revelation that there is no room for evil in my life anymore. That I have no desires for evil anymore. I have no other impulse. But that's considered revelation from above. In fact, in Tanya it says that in order to be tzaddik on that level, it has to come as a gift from above. You can only work yourself up to a certain level. After that, in order to experience complete transformation, you need what's called avodas matana. It has to be given as a gift from above. And that's why we see by the ultimate revelation, Hashem says, "Nesruach hatoma avim in haaretz," that Hashem has to remove the evil from the world. The person cannot, with their own power, fully remove evil from the world. Hashem himself has to do it. So similarly, the tzaddik only does his avodah up to a certain point. Once he's deserving of it, then Hashem allows him to experience such love and connectedness to God that his desire for evil is completely removed. So that's already a revelation from above. It's not your changing from within. So the advantage of his happiness is a far greater revelation and connectedness to God than a person who's sitting and struggling with lowly impulses and desires. The advantage of a skafia is that it's you doing the work. You're doing the work. You're changing yourself from within. You're struggling with yourself. You're changing. You are the one who within your lowly nature itself are struggling to change and to serve Hashem. So even the tzaddik gomer has the mila of iskafia. The mila of iskafia is that he wants to have the mila of doing through his own avodah, through his own efforts. even though he's already achieved the level that now he experiences revelation from above on the highest levels, the tzaddik himself, he doesn't need it, but he wants to have the mila of iskafia, that it comes from within himself. It's not just from above and he's just going from level to level in higher revelation, but the tzaddik wants to experience that, to do the work, that it should be internal, from within, within his very nature itself. So in Chassidus it says that normally to go from Iskafia to Ishapka is a long process. And in fact, a key element in dragging out the process in Derech Mitzvah Sechet, the Tzemach Tzedek talks about the mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did and destroying Amalek. So the Tzemach Tzedek says that the thing that makes the process between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Geula Shleima and Avodah, the thing that makes it the interruption, is the fact that you have to do war with Amalek. Amalek does not want to allow us to go to complete redemption. Right? We were supposed to go straight into Eretz Yisrael and experience complete redemption. Amalek tries to get in the way of that. And in fact, he brings the pasuk that says in Shmuel, now when Shmuel tells Shaul to go kill out Amalek, he says, because Hashem remembered what they did to the Jewish people, Ba'aloisai Mitzrayim. Usually, whenever the pasuk refers to that time, it talks about B'tzeischa Mitzrayim, when you were going out of Mitzrayim. And in this one place, it refers to Ba'aloisai Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people were going up from Mitzrayim. So Tzemach Tzedek explains that going up from Mitzrayim means after they had left Mitzrayim and they were going to Eretz Yisrael to experience complete redemption. Eretz Teva Rechava, the service of God without any limitations, constraints, impediments, challenges, difficulties, and so on. So, Tzemach Tzedek explains that struggle is, that the struggle that we experience in the process is, he goes in to explain how it's connected with Amalek and the fight with Amalek, but we know that the solution to the fight with Amalek is remembering. He says, what are you supposed to do? The mitzvah, how are we supposed to deal with Amalek? Obviously, ultimately, we're supposed to destroy it. But for now, how are we supposed to deal with Amalek? We're supposed to remember. Remember, don't forget. So what's this remembering and not forgetting? Remembering and not forgetting, this is the thing that, this is what the Rebbe is saying, is the Avodah, to realize even in the concealment, that the concealment is not real. To remember God in the concealment, don't forget. If a person experiences concealment in their life and they think that the concealment is real, that means that they're forgetting that God is in the concealment. And if you're forgetting that God is in the concealment, then the concealment has power over you. But if you remember and you're aware at all times that there is no real concealment, that the concealment is just another way of God expressing himself, there is no real concealment, then there's nothing stopping you from experiencing Geula Shleima, ultimate revelation. And that's what the Rebbe is telling us. After all the sittings where the Rebbe spoke about opening your eyes. Even in this sefer, the Rebbe says what's missing is that the Eibishter should open the eyes of a Jew. After all the sinners, when the Rebbe says that all the revelations of Gula are already here, what's missing is to open your eyes and see those revelations. So what the Rebbe is telling us is that in our individual Avodah, as individual, and certainly in the Avodah of Klal Yisrael as a whole, there is no more reason that there be any hefsa. It's no longer necessary that there be any more interruption between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Geula Shleima. We have all the tools that we need in order to experience Geula Shleima now. What we have to do is open our eyes and see that the things that appear even to be concealment are actually revelation. There is no concealment. And when you see through the concealment, then even the outer layers of concealment disappear. It's only, then it's Mezroa HaTom Adam and Aaron. Our job is to see through the concealment and experience the revelation. When we see through the concealment and see that there is no real concealment, that it's all revelation, when we experience revelation, then even the outer layers of concealment are removed. And the Eibishter said, Mezroa HaTom Adam and Aaron, the Eibishter removes any vestiges of evil, of concealment, that might still exist in the world. And that is what the Rebbe emphasizes in this sikha, dafka the inyan of going without any hafsik. Rebbe also emphasizes the study of Rambam, which is a way of studying the entire Torah, at least in an encapsulated form. The idea of studying the entire Torah, normally a person studied the entire Torah, it's a long process you have to go through. It's a long, protracted, extended process. What am I going to learn the entire Torah? But the idea is that when you see how, that in the Rambam, you see the entire Torah contained in encapsulated form, and yeah, it's relatively accessible to each and every individual. It's not something that, obviously, you can learn it better, and you can learn it more, and there's a lot more. You'll learn the reasons behind it, and why the Rambam says what it says. But the idea is that it's all contained in there, in an encapsulated form. And that's, now, what we have to be doing is not dealing with any interruptions, not dealing with any hefsek, not feeling like there's still more time to the process. It's still going to take a lot more time to the process until you actually experience open production. But actually seeing how it's not necessary, the time, any further time lag, any further hefsek is no longer necessary. We have all the tools we need to experience ultimate redemption in our own personal life, ultimate redemption in the world at large. It goes straight to Chaim Nitzke without any interruption in between, together with the Rebbe of Melech HaMashiach. Take it from the Emperor.